As the war continues, there are additional concerns as to how it could affect global food security.
If COVID-19 really worsens the situation with hunger in the world, this war will have even more effect. According to the first quarterly report of FAO for crop and prediction for harvest, already 44 countries in the world experiencing hunger.
Plus the challenges of living far away from loved ones.
Every day we do a sort of checkup among friends. We send brief messages such as, I'm fine, I'm alive.
From the Voice of America, this is a special presentation of Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Steve Miller. Since the start of Russia's war in Ukraine more than 100 days ago, there have been concerns as to its impact on global food security. It's a topic that we've covered several times on this program, and recently, VOA Eastern European Bureau Chief Miroslava Gongadze had the opportunity to discuss that topic and more with Alexandra Veselenko, the Special Envoy on Humanitarian Assistance inside the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine.
Given that Ukraine is one of the main exporters of grain, I would say, of wheat, corn, buckwheat, to the world, as well as the sunflower oil. So the implications of this war will be really hard. And we will feel it not only this year, but also in the coming years, like 3 up to 5 years at least. Because what we have now, so the war... We already started sowing campaign almost in all regions in Ukraine, but a huge mine contamination. It is very insecure for our farmers to perform sowing campaign, but they already started doing this even in Zaporizhzhia region, very, very close to the front line. They're using helmet and vests in order to perform their duty. Also, the problem is not only with the sowing campaign. Yes, we have an acute shortage of fuel, which is required for sowing campaign, and it will be required for harvesting. So it definitely will influence the process. Russian troops, as you can see from recent news, Russian troops are trying to shell our railway stations, and they are focusing on the main railway complex. As well, they destroyed a lot of grain storages. So we need to find out a solution where we can store grain before we can export it. Also, we have very, very limited capacity of logistics right now from the south and southeast because our Black Sea ports blocked by Russian troops and blocked by mines. And we figuring out alternative routes of logistics. It can be really different. We're looking at on the south in Romania. We're looking at Poland. And also we're trying to figure out alternative routes within the TNT network. With European Union using a multimodal connection, like grain, cargo lorries, and of course seaports, because it's the main source of logistics for us. What we can see, if COVID-19 really worsens the situation with hunger in the world, this war will have even more effect. According to the first quarterly report of FAO for crop and prediction for harvest, already 44 countries in the world experiencing hunger. It's almost plus 700 countries in the world added to this list. Projections for the harvest for this season in Ukraine are still very high. But as I said before, the situation is really complex with logistics, and we do not know how it will unfold and how we can harvest. So sowing campaign started. We will try to do our best to provide the world with the grain and to keep the world food security on the same and stable level. But we need help and need to think how we can solve our problem.
Now, to meet the needs of not only Europe, but the world's food supply, the minister was asked what kinds of assistance Ukraine was asking for from its partners in the region.
The government of Ukraine works with our partners on at different levels, I would say, the Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Infrastructure, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, definitely. We're working on the bilateral levels with our cross-border countries like Poland and Romania to provide us with alternative routes. But we need to understand that all these both countries, they also have a huge grain export. And for example, Romania has a shortage in export capacity for the port Constanța in the Black Sea region. So there will be very high, I would say, we will compete with each other for the grain export because we export much more, for example, than Romania. But Romania also have their own expectation for the export, and the harvest in Romania will be at the same level as it was before, like 11 million tons. For example, they produce 11 million tons and we produce like 32, so three times more. So what we're looking for? We're looking for support. We're looking for more of easier transportation logistics and easier rules for transportation and for exports, because it is not only how to transport. Yes, it's also different stuff like phytosanitary requirements, certificates, and we need to discuss all this stuff with them, and we need to agree with them on some certain points. So as much as they can help us to simplify the procedure for our export, it can be easier for all of us, and we can all benefit from it, because we're not asking this as a humanitarian assistance, we're asking this as like a friendly help. But we are ready to pay our companies, our trading grain exporters, they are ready to pay, because this is not, I would say for now, this is not a matter of price. This is a matter of saving the crops, and this is a matter of saving the export. So we will work with it, and we will need to think about different roads, not only like two roads, one to Gdansk, for example, and one to Constanța. We also need to think about how we can use opportunities of Danube region, how we can use Danube River to transport our goods further to Europe, because we are the part of the Danube region and we are the part of the Danube regional strategy. And I think this is the moment when we can definitely benefit from it.
VOA Eastern Europe Bureau Chief Miroslava Gongadze also inquired if Ukraine was getting what it needed in terms of humanitarian aid.
It is really hard for people to imagine the scale and of the needs, because yes, we're receiving definitely in different volumes. We're receiving a huge volunteer also, or huge volunteer movement that support us, and we're receiving different types of goods. Yes, we have some certain problems with the clearing of proposal of the donor countries, but we're trying hard with this communication process to deliver them accurate information about our needs and to help them to clear those proposals for help. But yes, we are receiving it, but as well we need more. Mm-hmm. Because the war unfortunately is continuing, and we still have a lot of problems with food for civilians, with medicine. As the summer is approaching, we also need to start working, and we already started working for the water purification systems and water purification tools, because we need to provide fresh water, clean water to our citizens, so we can avoid this communicable disease spread. This is something that we're working for, and we need to definitely to work even harder, because what I can see that, of course, there is some people tired. Yes, this is not so high level of enthusiasm, for example, for in-kind donation. But I see that our partner countries, they are working systematically, and we are really thankful.
That was the Special Envoy on Humanitarian Assistance for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine, Alexandra Veselenko, speaking with VOA Eastern Europe Bureau Chief Miroslava Gonkadze. You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Steve Miller. Ukrainians abroad are not living with war, but instead living with uncertainty, far away and, in some instances, unable to communicate with loved ones back home. So, perhaps they fear the worst. Veronica Viafanye narrates the story.
Ukrainian journalist Zhanna Chuchman says her life has been on hold since Russia began its invasion of Ukraine.
Sometimes I wake up and I don't know today's date, but I do know in which day of the war we are. It is terrible.
Chuchman, who has been living in Argentina for the past 16 years, worries about her family in Ukraine and the future of her country.
We began to have a different life since this huge war began. I communicate by phone with my family, my mother and grandmother, who are in Ukraine. Every day we do a sort of checkup among friends. We send brief messages such as, I'm fine, I'm alive. That's terrible too.
Chuchman says her emotional well-being hinges on whether she can connect with her mother or grandmother by internet or phone. She says she fears that one day no one will answer her calls.
Sometimes I spend hours calling, honestly. Many times it's not possible to communicate quickly or easily because the lines are overwhelmed. There are days that I try to communicate every half hour and I can't get through.
Hello?
On this day, sitting in a cafe in Buenos Aires, Chuchman speaks with her sister, who safely escaped from Kyiv.
I asked her how she was. My sister told me that today, again, she was not able to reach our grandmother and mother. She finally got in touch with me. She said she traveled with her daughter and grandchildren and other refugees to Poland.
Her mother and grandmother were unable to leave Ukraine because of health issues. Chuchman shares her anguish.
What distresses me most is that I am not there with them. I know I could help my mom and my grandmother. But I also know that from here, where I am now, I am doing the best I can for my country.
Before the pandemic, Chuchman often visited her family in Ukraine. Now with the war, she wonders if she'll ever see them again. She struggles with her biggest fear.
That I will not have a home to return to.
A few days after VOA News spoke with her, Chuchman boarded a humanitarian aid flight from Buenos Aires to Warsaw, coordinated by an Argentinian nonprofit. Shortly after her arrival to Poland, a measure of peace. Chuchman was able to embrace her sister, Julia. It's a bittersweet reunion, 2 years in the making, with both women far from home, not knowing when and if they'll ever be able to return to Ukraine. For González Báñez Villar, Veronica Villafañe, VOA News.
Tom Berkoff was born in Kharkiv, Ukraine, and adopted by a U.S. family over 15 years ago. Now that his home country has been attacked by Russia, he started a donation drive to help Ukraine. Berkoff sends needed goods and raises money, which he sends to his childhood friend for distribution in Kharkiv. Anna Rice narrates this story.
This is Jake. Jake, say hi. This is my sister Sarah. Sarah, say hi. And this is my friend Joey.
Tom Berkoff's garage has looked like this for over a month now. Every inch is covered with boxes containing things collected to be sent to Ukraine. He speaks English mixed with Ukrainian and Russian. When he was 12, Berkoff was adopted from Kharkiv, Ukraine, and brought to Long Island, New York. His grandmother and a childhood friend he grew up with at the orphanage stayed in Ukraine.
Hello.
Hey, brother. How are you doing there?
His friend in Kharkiv now works as a police officer, and since the war started, has been volunteering, delivering food and clothing to whoever needs it. Berkoff's grandmother and many others who either couldn't or wouldn't leave the city are the people he helps. At times, he shoots videos to show Berkoff what their childhood streets look like now.
There's that 10-story apartment complex that was on fire. Everything was bombed. People are forced to live in the basement. They don't even have running water, electricity, gas. They have to cook food over an open fire.
When the invasion began, Berkov wanted to go to Ukraine and fight, but his adoptive family convinced him he could help more from America. As a result, Berkov dedicates his time to raising money and collecting medication and tactical supplies such as helmets. He transfers all the money to his childhood friend so that he can buy necessities.
He and his partner are amazing. Nothing would have been possible without them.
Just two people?
Two people are doing everything.
New York City firefighters are supporting Berkov's cause. A few fire departments around the city have installed special donation boxes and pass everything to Berkov. Firefighter Nick Cirullo may not like to talk about politics, but he's doing what he can to help.
There is some tactical stuff in there, but mostly all medical to aid the wounded over in the Ukraine. It's obviously a serious issue going down there. There's a lot of people wounded, and it's hard to get supplies over there. So we were happy to get this filled up as fast as possible.
For several years, Berkov volunteered at the fire station, so many local firefighters know him. And because of that, the war in Ukraine is more personal.
People donated so many things. It was awesome. I wanted to cry. People help a lot. Blankets, socks, gloves. For adults and for kids.
Berkov's American family are doing what they can too. His cousin has installed a donation box in her bakery.
I just post weekly, like, hey guys, we have a drop-off box here. Like, any donations are welcome. We're looking for medical supply.
Sarah, Berkov's sister, packs donated items into boxes. She has never been to Ukraine, but she admires the bravery Ukrainians are demonstrating.
Yeah, we see the overwhelming pride, and it's heartwarming, it's inspiring. So we're happy to be here today, and we love Ukraine.
Berkov dreams of going to Ukraine when it's safe, to help rebuild the country. As a construction worker, his skills will be needed. Fanina Vishnyova in New York, NRI's VOA News.
Tech platforms such as Etsy are quickly emerging as ways to send help directly to Ukrainians. The Crafts Focus Marketplace has become a part of the hidden infrastructure for global humanitarian aid. Since the start of the Russian invasion, thousands of crafters worldwide have been selling Ukrainian-themed products on the website and sending the proceeds directly to charity. Maximus Kalkoff has that story.
From t-shirts and magnets to badges and jewelry. Since Russia invaded Ukraine, the crafts-focused marketplace Etsy has been awash in blue and yellow, Ukraine's national colors. Crafters are selling items in support of Ukraine, with the proceeds going to aid Ukrainians.
Kind of on a whim, I decided to make a necklace with a sunflower charm that I had laying around. And people seem to really like it. And I mean, it's just taken off since there. I didn't expect to make many of these necklaces, but people have like really responded to it. People are saying that they really like that they can wear their support for Ukraine.
Kuster sends all the money she raises from the sales to CARE International, an organization that provides emergency assistance to Ukraine. Baltimore native Henry Shelley and his wife are parents of three children they adopted from Eastern Europe. When the war started, they simply had to help.
I knew sunflowers were very popular in Ukraine and have taken on an increasing symbolism throughout this war. And so I just put the Ukraine flag colors together and made a ribbon and designed some silicone bracelets with a quote from President Zelensky on them.
Shelley has sold over 170 bracelets, and the orders keep coming. New Jersey artist Courtney Bush, who was posting her work in support of Ukraine on Instagram, soon realized she could do more.
I make different art prints and things, but I turned it into a house flag so that people can really show their support in their community. But I've raised almost $4,000, I can say that. I wouldn't have been able to donate that much money from my personal.
It's not just Americans who are supporting Ukraine. Crafters from all over the world have joined the cause. Constantino Iglesias and Paola Orlando are helping from London.
The way that we figure out to help is doing what we know, how to do it, and help people with our, you know, our job. Like, it's doing bracelets. I help her a little bit, but she's doing, like, every day all the bracelets to support Ukraine.
Egyptian textile designer Asma Ibrahim sells T-shirts and pullovers in her Etsy store. In March, she raised over $1,400 and donated it to UNICEF.
We received much orders. We saw like 500 items, okay? And we received much love from people that people love to see that they are a part of helping Ukrainian people.
Russia's aggression in Ukraine continues. And though private donations are pouring in, experts say the country's humanitarian needs will rise. Maxim Moskalko for VOA News, Washington.
The police and fire departments in the Washington, D.C. area have started a humanitarian aid initiative to help Ukraine. Many other volunteers in the area have also been sending much-needed supplies to Ukraine. Steve Barragona rounds us out.
The fire and police departments of Arlington County in Virginia, just outside Washington, are collecting humanitarian help to aid Ukraine. They have prepared some 30 pallets of aid to be sent to Ukraine.
Full firefighting ensembles, so the coats, the jackets, the pants, boots, breathing apparatus that will supply Ukrainian firefighters with fresh air for their firefighting operations.
In addition, these numerous packages include bulletproof vests and medical supplies. The aid is collected by the charitable volunteer organization United Help Ukraine, and is being transported to Ukraine. After the pallets are sent to Ukraine, they make their way to the west of the country. Since the start of the war, over 200 tons of humanitarian cargo from U.S. philanthropists have been delivered to Ukraine by United Help Ukraine.
Among the cities that have already received aid are Chernihiv, Kozelets, Kyiv, Vyshgorod. The volume is increasing, and we work from morning till night to help various charities, shelters, medical institutions, hospitals, and territorial defense. We're doing our best to help everyone who comes to us for help.
The foundation, organized by Ukrainian Americans in the D.C. area in 2014 to help the occupied Donetsk region, now supports Kharkiv, Odessa, Mykolaiv, and many other Ukrainian cities, towns, and villages. United Help Ukraine volunteers have years of experience assembling professional first aid kits used to address gunshot wounds. The initial 5,000 first aid kits were assembled by volunteers in the United States. In total, United Help Ukraine has distributed 7,500 war-grade first aid kits across Ukraine and is working on delivering another 20,000. In addition, volunteers collect and distribute medicine, medical equipment, clothing, food, personal protective equipment, and hygiene products.
At the moment, we're loading body bags for corpses. These are large size, and the smaller ones are unfortunately children's. They will go to Vorzel, Gostomel, Bucha, those cities near Kyiv.
In Ukraine, volunteers like Ludmila Shadorina distribute the items. She is from the Donetsk region. She left her home after the start of the war. United Help Ukraine also purchased and delivered ambulances, fire trucks, and tens of thousands of turnstiles to Ukraine. Altogether, thanks to donations from regular Americans and businesses, this group has provided over $7 million worth of aid. For Anna Kostuchenko in Lviv, Ukraine, Steve Barragona, VOA News.
And that's going to do it for this special presentation of Flashpoint Ukraine. Be sure to stay up to date with the latest developments by visiting our website at voanews.com/flashpoint. On behalf of the entire team at VOA, thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm VOA's Steve Miller. Be well, be safe, and good night.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.